Chapter 20 Monsters. Human beings have been terrorized, mystified, and fascinated with tales of mystery beings and unearthly creatures for as long as our species has existed. Monsters, demons, goblins, and ghosts have their roots in oral traditions that date back to cave-dwelling yarn spinners. Over the centuries, there have been innumerable other entries in this pantheon of the paranormal, from witches and werewolves to vampires and sea serpents, from blood-sucking ghouls to blood-sucking chupacabras, from trolls and leprechauns to bug-eyed space aliens who arrive in the night to snatch unsuspecting people from their beds. Godzilla, Freddy Krueger, and Frankenstein's monster didn't exist, so they had to be invented, the product of fertile imaginations and cinematic special effects artists. If they weren't real before, they are now, imprinted forever on our collective psyche. There is a distinct difference between monsters that exist only on celluloid or the printed page, however, and those that occasionally make overt intrusions into our personal realities. One emerges from the supernatural, while the other, like Bigfoot, has distinct roots in our flesh and blood reality. Although Mike is certain that the creature he saw crawling through the tunnel lacked hair, there is no question that Gorman and members of his family witnessed some Bigfoot-like creatures on the ranch on more than one occasion, as have others in the area. Contrary to popular impression, however, Bigfoot wasn't born in the forests of the Pacific Northwest. He didn't just spring up from nowhere alongside Starbucks coffee, Microsoft, and the grunge rock of Nirvana. Long before Europeans arrived in North America, indigenous peoples throughout the continent knew of Sasquatch, which is the name used by the Salish tribe of the Northwest. Coastal tribes called him Bukwas, or Dzunakwa, and have featured his likeness in masks and on totems dating back to the 1700s. The Lakota Sioux of the Northern Plains referred to Bigfoot as Chiyetunka, roughly translated as the Big Elder Brother. Joe Flying By, a hunk Papa Lakota, told Peter Matheson, the author of Thunderheart, that the big man is a husband of the earth, a being from ancient times who can take a hairy form or even change into a coyote. There is your big man standing there, ever waiting, ever present, like the coming of a new day, Joe Flying By was quoted as saying in an article in the Track Record. He is both spirit and real being, but he can also glide through the forest like a moose with big antlers, as if the trees weren't there. Canadian writer and Bigfoot researcher Ron Murdoch asserts that the existence of Sasquatch is taken for granted throughout Native North America. The Athabascan Indians of Alaska regard Sasquatch as a big brother who looks out for Native American peoples and brings signs or messages during troubled times. Hopi elders believe that Bigfoot delivers messages from the Creator, often messages about man's disrespect for harmony and balance. In Native culture, the entire natural world is seen as a family. Sasquatch is regarded as one of our closest relatives. In each tribal dialect, there is a word for Sasquatch, Murdoch writes. When white trappers, hunters, and explorers first made contact with Native tribes in North America, they often heard the stories about a race of large, hairy humanoids. A few of these mountain men had their own encounters, some of which were reported in frontier newspapers of the day. In 1784, the London Times reported the capture of a huge, man-like hair-covered creature in Lake of the Woods, Manitoba. In 1811, a fur trader named David Thompson told a journalist about his sighting of a hairy giant near what is now Jasper, Alberta. In 1840, a missionary named Elkanah Walker, who spent 9 years living among the Spokane Indians, described the tribe's belief in the existence of a race of giants, which hunt and do all of their work by night, and leave behind a track about a foot and a half long. The Butte Record of Northern California reported a sighting of a male gorilla or wild man in November 1870. The Victoria Colonist of British Columbia reported the capture of a gorilla-type creature in July 1884. Outdoorsman and future president Theodore Roosevelt reported his own Bigfoot story in his 1893 book, Wilderness Hunter. Roosevelt met a trapper named Bauman, who told of a deadly encounter with a tall beast that invaded a campsite in British Columbia, smashed all of the gear in the camp, and haunted the vicinity with a sound described as a long-drawn moan that struck Bauman and his partner as peculiarly sinister. Roosevelt wrote that the beast killed Bauman's partner while Bauman was away from the camp, and that the footprints of the unknown beast creature printed deep in the soft soil told the whole story. The mystery animal left 4 deep fang marks in the neck of the victim, but did not eat the body. After rolling around in the dirt, the attacker fled back into the soundless depths of the woods. It is possible that at least some of these accounts represent mistaken identifications of bears or other large animals, except for the fact that the witnesses were all experienced hunters and lifelong outdoorsmen, people who were intimately familiar with the behavior, sounds, and physical features of bears and other species known to inhabit the forests and mountains. The Native American tribes that have lived and hunted for centuries in these same areas would presumably know the difference between a bear that stands on its hind legs and a hairy man. What's more, as the 19th century gave way to the 20th, and the western wilderness became more populated, the sightings and encounters continued. In 1924, a hunter named Albert Ostman had a dramatic encounter with what he said was a family of Bigfoot beings while on an outing near Vancouver Island. In the same year, the Portland Oregonian reported the story of Fred Beck's hunting party on the slopes of Washington's Mount St. Helens. Beck and his companions claim they used their rifles to fend off an attack by a pack of rock-throwing mountain gorillas, which they also described as mountain devils. A teacher named J.W. Burns, who spent many years living among the Chehalis tribe near Vancouver, wrote several regional newspaper articles in the late 1920s about encounters between his Indian friends and a race of hairy giants. In 1927, one of Burns's accounts was printed in a national magazine but didn't seem to make much of a lasting impression on the larger public. However, the Burns articles did introduce to readers a name for the beast. The name was Sasquatch. The Sasquatch story received only sporadic coverage in local newspapers around the country until 1958, when a road crew working in a remote area of Northern California made a plaster cast of one of the huge human-like footprints that had been found in the mud around their work site over a period of several weeks. The site foreman took the cast to a local newspaper. The story was then picked up by wire services, and before long, the whole country was abuzz about Bigfoot. Although there have been few, if any, legitimate scientific inquiries into the Sasquatch legend, scientists decided long ago that the story was absurd on its face, that it is most likely the result of hoaxes or mass hallucinations or has been promulgated by media coverage. But since the story has been around since the 1700s and has thrived among indigenous tribes and remote populations, the explanation that it was created by mass media seems weak. Certainly, there have been some attempted hoaxes over the years, but no single hoaxer or group of hoaxers could possibly account for all of the sightings over so much time and so much territory. And mass hallucinations do not easily cross from one culture to another. The Bigfoot story is not only multicultural, but also international in scope. What's more, there is a body of evidence that suggests this mystery is worthy of serious inquiry. After all, the confirmation of the existence of a previously unknown primate species, especially a species whose adults are commonly described as being 7 feet tall or taller, one that has been living for centuries under our noses in the forests of North America, would be one hell of a scientific news story. Thousands of eyewitness accounts have been recorded over the past 3 centuries. One Bigfoot, in particular, seems to have been spotted by 3 different groups of witnesses. In 1988, a father and son spotted what they described as a 6-foot Sasquatch near a creek in Grays Harbor County, Washington. While most Sasquatch are said to be covered with dark hair, this one was white, with blue eyes and a pink complexion. The father and son were within 20 feet of the beast, and they noticed that it seemed to move with a limp. After the encounter, the 2 examined the large tracks that had been left behind and determined that the animal's right foot was crippled. Then in July 1995, another father and son were on a camping trip at a reservoir in the same county. While on a hike overlooking the water, they saw two Sasquatch below. The beasts appeared to be playfully wrestling with each other. One was brown, the other white. The white one walked with a limp. The sighting lasted more than 20 minutes, and before the two Sasquatch walked off into the forest, six other hikers joined the father and son as they watched the creatures cavorting. Finally, in October 1996, a husband and wife were on a logging road in the woods of the Oregon Cascades. The husband was using a chainsaw to cut up firewood while his wife sat in their truck. Two other men were cutting wood about 100 yards away. The witnesses were startled when a Sasquatch, as white as a towel, emerged from the tree some 25 feet away from the two men, then walked back into the forest with a pronounced limp. The husband, Frank, didn't see the Sasquatch, but was told by the other two men that it had blue eyes and a pink complexion. When Frank went looking for any telltale tracks, he found them and later made plaster casts of two large prints, one from each foot. The cast of the right foot revealed that the Sasquatch was missing his large toe, which would explain the limp. What are the chances that three groups of multiple witnesses in different years and different places would see a white, pink-faced, blue-eyed Sasquatch that walked with a limp? Slim, it would seem. Private Bigfoot research organizations have accumulated huge volumes of sighting reports. Other types of physical evidence accompany some of the sightings. For example, in Alpine, California, a Sasquatch was seen eating apples from a tree in front of the house. Not only did it leave behind monstrous footprints, but the tree and a few others were found to have been stripped of fruit in their upper branches at a height not reachable by a man. In Arizona, a mother and daughter watched as a 7-foot Sasquatch looted their garden of corn and turnips and left behind characteristically large footprints and a decimated patch of ground. Sightings of hairy ape men have been recorded in 49 of the 50 states and in every Canadian province, but the phenomenon is by no means unique to North America or to modern times. Ancient Mesopotamians wrote of Enkidu, a wild man who could communicate with animals. The Bible mentions Esau, whose body was supposedly covered with animal hair and who emanated a strong, offensive odor. Early European writers recorded stories of the wild men of the woods, seen in Germany, France, and other countries. Hairy ape men have been reported in China, Nepal, Russia, Ireland, Thailand, Vietnam, India, Malaysia, Indonesia, New Guinea, New Zealand, Australia, Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, Panama, Guatemala, Kenya, and other countries. In Australia, the wild men are known as Yowies. In the Himalayas, of course, the more famous name is Yeti, also known as the Abominable Snowman, which has been seen by mountain peoples for centuries. Tenzing Norgay, the famed Sherpa mountaineer who guided Edmund Hillary to the summit of Mount Everest in 1953, told writer John Keel many stories about Yeti encounters, as did the llamas, trackers, and villagers of the region. To dismiss all of this as collective hallucination, the primitive need for the mythological, or simply as archetypal legends common to all mankind, writes anthropologist Helmut Lufs Visova in the ANU Reporter, will not do any more. Other than the eyewitness sightings, the footprints left by these animals represent the most direct physical evidence of their existence. More than 700 plaster casts of Bigfoot prints have been collected over the years. The average length of the feet is 15.6 inches. The average width is 7.2 inches. The foot of a 7'3" basketball player might be 16 inches long, but only 5.5 inches wide. Needless to say, these are very large feet. Clearly, something is leaving these prints in the deep forests. It boils down to either hoaxers or an unknown species. If hoaxers are responsible, they are incredibly diligent, since the tracks have been found in remote areas all over the world for many, many years. Have some of the collected prints been faked? Without question. But what about the rest of them? Oregon Regional Primate Center's W. Henner Fahrenbach conducted a study of more than 500 footprints collected over 38 years from a wide swath of North America. Fahrenbach notes that many of the footprint records were obtained by tracking the animals for miles, not for a step or two. Since most of the prints in the database were collected by individuals who don't know each other and don't know what the normal size of a footprint should be, Fahrenbach thinks it is unlikely that a few cases submitted by hoaxers could have much of an impact on the overall validity of the database, using a Gaussian distribution of the footprints and the locations where they were found. Fahrenbach says the patterns are similar to those of known animals. In other words, the prints indicate that this is a real species of unknown animal that is living out there in the wilderness and is not the work of a few hoaxers. A latent fingerprint expert named Jimmy Chilcutt, who works full-time for the Conroe Police Department in Texas and who was highly regarded by the FBI and DEA for his expertise, decided to enter the Bigfoot debate a few years ago. His intention was to debunk the footprints that had been collected. Although he did find some prints that he believes to be fakes, Chilcutt's views about Bigfoot changed the more he dug into the evidence, and he now believes that this unknown animal species really exists. Hair samples that have been collected from areas frequented by these creatures represent another intriguing form of evidence. Hair samples obtained in the Blue Mountains of Washington State have been analyzed by the Department of Molecular Genetics at Ohio State University. The DNA that was extracted was too fragmented to allow meaningful gene sequencing. Some of the hair samples were identified as being from known animals. A few were shown to be synthetic, but others are believed to be from a non-human but unknown primate, although at best the test results are still considered inconclusive. In 1988, a team of 100 Chinese researchers associated with the China Wildman Research Center converged on a mountainous Hubei province where sightings of a mysterious man-ape date back almost 3,000 years. The researchers found and analyzed numerous hair samples. They identified several hairs that do not belong to any known species in the area and concluded that the hairs prove the existence of a rare and advanced primate that is similar to man. British scientists have supposedly analyzed hair samples found in the Kingdom of Bhutan, where the locals refer to their own version of hairy biped as the Migyur, and concluded that the DNA isn't from a human or a bear or any other known species. For the most part, however, mainstream scientists do not find the evidence compelling, nor have they been impressed with audio recordings of alleged Bigfoot cries or by the few film snippets that have largely been dismissed as stage fabrications. Scientists rightly ask, where are the skeletons of dead Bigfoot? Why is there no fossil record of these creatures as they evolved through the ages? Bigfoot proponents note that there isn't much of a fossil record for chimpanzees or gorillas either, yet we know both species exist. They also counter that no skeletal remains of gorillas were found until long after the species itself had been discovered. The pro-Bigfoot crowd believes, with some justification, that modern science hasn't fairly evaluated the evidence and testimony. There is one other possible explanation for the lack of Bigfoot bones and a fossil record. What if the creatures are not flesh and blood, but are of a paranormal nature? There are, in fact, scores of cases where witnesses have seen Bigfoot-type creatures in a paranormal context. There are cases in Australia and the United States where families have been plagued by what seems like prototypical poltergeist activity, and then they discover a Bigfoot creature on their property. Bigfoot animals have also been seen in the vicinity of animal mutilation cases. In 1974, when a wave of cattle mutilations occurred in Nebraska, Kansas, and Iowa, witnesses reported seeing strange lights in the sky and animals that resembled apes or bears on ranches where mutilations occurred. In Boise, Idaho, three separate witnesses saw hairy, man-like beasts in their yard in July 1975 during a wave of mutilations and UFO sightings. The apparent paranormal aspects of many Bigfoot accounts make many cryptozoologists uncomfortable. In fact, most Bigfoot researchers choose to downplay some of the more exotic aspects of their research. After all, they believe that Bigfoot, Yeti, and their assorted cousins are flesh and blood beings that just haven't been found yet. Whenever witnesses discuss Bigfoot in connection with such topics as UFO sightings or psychic phenomena, cryptozoologists get understandably antsy. After all, mixing in a plethora of other weird topics could not only strengthen the hand of Sasquatch skeptics, but also give scientists and journalists another reason to sidestep any serious examination of the Bigfoot mystery. However, It simply isn't honest to discard pieces of information that might not fit a preconceived idea of the truth. Tony Healy, who has devoted 25 years of his life to pursuing the Australian Yowie, estimates that to exclude all Yowie stories that smack of the paranormal would mean the elimination of about 20% of the case files. Healy and other researchers suspect that these creatures have some sort of sixth sense that assists them in avoiding detection or capture. Healy says a hefty percentage of Yowie sightings involve the presence of UFOs, other unknown animals, even lake monsters. Healy, for one, has now concluded that the Yowie is some sort of shapeshifter, a phantom that may always remain beyond human comprehension. Many Native American tribes have long regarded Sasquatch as something more than a flesh-and-blood animal. Ray Owen, whose father was a prominent spiritual leader on the Prairie Island Reservation, offers the opinion that the Sasquatch exists in another dimension from us, but can appear in this dimension whenever they have a reason to. Owen explains, "It's like there are many levels, many dimensions. When our time in this one is finished, we move on to the next. But the big man can go between. The big man comes from God. He's our big brother. Kind of looks out for us." Joe Flying By has made a similar observation. "I think the big man is a kind of husband of Unk-Xa, the earth, who is wise in the way of anything with its own natural wisdom," he says. "Sometimes we say that this one is kind of a reptile from ancient times who can take a big hairy form. I think he can also change into a coyote." Certainly, there are plenty of reports in the literature to bolster the idea that Bigfoot might be even stranger than he seems. One oft-repeated characteristic of Bigfoot encounters is the feeling of nameless dread, a pervasive, bone-chilling fear that seems entirely out of proportion for the nature of the encounter. Witnesses, even those with a healthy curiosity about the unknown, have told of being gripped by uncontrollable fear that causes some to faint. Even fierce hunting dogs have been known to cower and whine in the vicinity of these creatures. Some witnesses are overwhelmed with fear even before they see the Bigfoot. Witnesses on the Gorman Ranch know this feeling of dread well.